Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
John chapter 19, verse 30. I want to talk to you about the finished product. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Christ is on the cross. "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. There's a reason why Christ is called the author and the finisher of our faith. You may be seated here. At home, you can't be seated. You got to stand up, but here you can be seated. Just kidding with you. You can do whatever you want to. It's your house. But there's a reason why Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. If everything that had been started that was good had been finished, this world would be a different place. Beginnings are so easy. Finishing strong is a lot more difficult. But Jesus Christ did not only begin a faith, he did not begin a salvation. He saw it to the end. It was not a synopsis. It wasn't an idea. It wasn't a germination of a thought. He said he is the author and the finisher. There's a reason why the Apostle Paul said, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. We have just celebrated the greatest miracle in the history of mankind. It's called Easter, the resurrection. What a miracle. The miracle of it never ends. Pastor Brandon said a while ago, it's not over. Oh, Easter is never over. The miracle of resurrection is never over. There is no ending, just new beginnings with the resurrection. But I want to look at post-Easter. The resurrection has happened. Now what? In order to properly celebrate the perpetual power of the resurrection, we need to go back and look at the last moments of Jesus Christ on that cross as he made one of the greatest declarations that's ever been made in the history of man. And that is, "It is finished." You remember well-meaning, misguided President George Bush declared after just a few days in Afghanistan, "We have won. It's over." We're still in Afghanistan, Mr. Bush. It was not finished. We just thought it was. We hoped it was, but it wasn't. Jesus Christ is not making any vain, hopeful challenges. It is a declaration. It is finished. Just three short words that changed the world. What a proclamation of victory. But was it really finished? How could it be finished when the resurrection is still in the future, still yet to come? How can it be finished? It takes an understanding of the incarnation. The only way man can be saved, for us to clearly realize what this statement meant, the only way man can be saved was by the sacrifice and death of perfect flesh. The Bible said by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. By one man, Christ, Jesus, righteousness entered into the world and sin was destroyed. He's called the second man, Adam. Jesus was perfect flesh. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth without one mistake, without one lie. The Bible declared there was no guile in him. He never even had a bad thought, never had a bad intention, no deception whatsoever, no guile in him. Jesus was perfect flesh. What he was saying when he said it is finished, he was saying everything that my flesh came to this earth to do has been completed. The perfect sacrifice has been offered without fail. Tempted in all points, the Bible declares, yet succumbed to absolutely not one of them. Now, God that so loved the world can do what his heart desired to do. For even God the Father was limited to redeem mankind because mankind could only be redeemed by a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice was the perfect flesh of a human being. That's the reason why Jesus Christ was not contaminated with Joseph's blood. He came born of a virgin as she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. But the blood that flowed through his vein was absolutely sinless. It was the Father's blood. The blood comes from the Father. And it was that shed blood that would buy our redemption. All of God's appropriations are now available and accessible to fallen man because Christ could declare, "It is finished." It is truly finished by Christ's flesh. Everything that Jesus would do from that point forward was now not by perfect flesh, but it was by his deity and not his humanity. The flesh of Christ did not raise itself from the dead, as some choose to teach that it did. But the Bible said he was raised by God the Father. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Christ was raised from the dead. So what he was saying is, everything that I was sent from heaven to do, it is finished. It is complete. But when Christ rose from that grave post-Easter, he was not yet gone. 40 days, he was still on this earth. The Bible declares it to be so in Acts 1:3. And after his suffering, he, Jesus, presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus had a real ministry in 40 days, and that ministry was emblematic. It was a paradigm of what we should be doing once we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. Jesus wants to manifest himself to people that have missed their greatest opportunity. That ought to be the great message of the church. If your life is nothing but a series of manifestations and opportunities, God's power is here to correct that. The Bible said this. I've always found it to be a unique passage. Thomas, one of the 12, is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I always thought it was paradoxical that his name was Didymus. Did you miss? Oh, you missed something. All right. You missed Jesus Christ coming from the grave and appearing among us. The Bible said Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples began to share with him, and he was now in a quandary. He was beginning to say, "Did I miss it? Are they making it up?" He was unsure, but he had that sinking despair feeling that he had missed the greatest opportunity in his life. Friend, there is nothing when you realize, nothing as despairing as when you realize the door is closed, the window of opportunity is slammed shut, that it's over for you. There's no going back. But what I love about Christ, he is not only the author and the finisher, he's everything in between. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he is the God of history, he is the God of present, and he is the God of the future. What a God we serve. And so Thomas had missed his greatest opportunity, but Jesus appeared to him again. And when Thomas was quaking and shaking somewhere between faith and fear, Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Go ahead, Thomas, I'm coming to you. You might be a little shaky in your faith, but I'm going to let the nail prints prove that I'm the same one that died and I rose again." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus just did not die for great champions of faith like Billy Graham. He died for normal people like you and I that battle for our faith every day. And so Jesus, in his earthly ministry of 40 days after Easter, before his ascension, sent a message. And that is that he wants to manifest himself to those people that have missed the opportunities of life. Somebody watching me right now feels like it's all over. It's past. I missed it. No, you didn't. Because Jesus Christ, the ever-present help in the time of need, stands by your elbow and he says, "I've come to show you the work of Calvary, my nail prints, this wound in my side, and tell you that I am the manifestation of the omnipotent, omniscient, almighty God, and with me all things are possible." So don't give up. Don't say it's over when it's not over, because it's not over, because you're still alive and God is still on his throne and his son Jesus is still in abiding presence. Number two, Jesus wants to work in our behalf when we feel like all doors are closed. The doors were locked and bolted. The Bible said about the disciples in kind of an indictment against them. After 3.5 years of walking with Christ, I had a woman write me some time ago, and she said, oh, I would to God I could move to San Antonio. She said, if I could set the Living Way Church and hear you preach 2 or 3 times a week, she said, I could make it. My faith would be strong. Friend, your faith is not dependent upon your presence in a certain ministry. It's your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done and what he has purchased for you. But here they were 3.5 years walking with Christ, seeing him raise the dead and heal the sick. And now they find themselves behind locked, closed, bolted doors. And nobody can get in, apparently not even Jesus. Oh, there's a reason when he says something. Jesus, when he said in John several chapters before, I am the door, perhaps had this moment in mind. When the disciples have closed the door and every door is shut, I will be the door. And the Bible said the door being shut, Christ just came through the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, you might feel like your boss, your ex-wife, worse yet, you have closed the door, nailed it shut, bolted, put a combination lock on it and forgot what the combination is. The door is shut. Nothing can happen. I want to tell you that Christ, in that moment just before his ascension, brought a great message to us. And that is that no matter who shuts the door, God said, I will be the door and I'll open it even if I have to make a hole in the side of the wall. Somebody that feels hopeless today on this Wednesday evening, new hope is arising in your heart like the morning sun. It's sunrise, not sunset for you. It's not the end, it's the beginning. For he will make a door where there is no door. Number three, Jesus wants us to reach out to him even when we are judged faithless. I used to have one of my best friends and a great man of God that was in this church for years and helped me in so many things. His name had to be Thomas. We called him Tommy. Tommy was my buddy. He'd get aggravated at me, Jesse Duplantis, or anybody else if we would put those two words together. Doubting Thomas. He said, I wish you guys wouldn't say that. My name is Thomas, and I'm not a doubting Thomas. I got faith. But the truth is that Thomas was called in this very passage, the 27th verse, faithless. Faithless. Jesus wants us to understand that even when we are judged faithless by events, circumstance, enemies, friends, and our own heart, he still says, if you will just reach out to me, something will happen. You might not feel like running around your living room right now. You might have bills you can't pay and an ache that won't go away and a report that you didn't want to hear. You just might not feel like doing jumping jacks for Jesus right now. But I would tell you this, that Christ, before his ascension, said, even though you are now believed to be faithless, a doubting Thomas, reach out to me and just make the effort of reaching out. And when you make that, I will make the effort of revelation. Thomas reached out, and when he did, Christ revealed himself to you. There's somebody right now on this Wednesday night, God wants to reveal himself as you've never known him. You've never known him as your healer. God wants that pain to stop right now. He wants that sickness to be gone right now. You've never known him as your Savior. God wants to forgive your sins. Now, you've never known him as the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. Sitting in a recliner, God can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I've had countless people in my ministry through radio and television tell me I was listening to you on the radio, watching on television, and I didn't even understand it, but suddenly the Holy Spirit came on me, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in a new language. What is that? That's a revelation of Christ's identity to a person that was faithless but reached out in spite of their lack of faith, and God manifest in them. Number four, God wants to promote us from absence to being blessed. Thomas, I don't know what he was. I just always wondered where Thomas was. Why wasn't he there? You know, the disciples were there, huddled together in fear behind a locked door. He wasn't there. Maybe he had more faith than they did. Maybe he had escaped the quarantine. Maybe he said, hey, I don't have a mask. I'm not going to avoid people. I'm going down to the Jack in the Box and get me a Jumbo Jack or whatever they sell at that place. I don't know where he was. I've always wondered where he was, that he couldn't be there, but he wasn't there. He was absent. But suddenly he becomes the star of the show. He becomes the person of the party. Suddenly Jesus Christ, in a perfect dialogue with him. He's talking to him one-on-one like he's talking to no other disciple. There's somebody right now listening to me who feel like you've always been left out. Won't no child left behind? You're the one they left behind. You're the runt of the litter. You're the one that your daddy never counted. You're the David. When Samuel brought all of the sons of David, of Jesse before him, David was left out. There's somebody feeling like you've been absent from the party. You've always missed out. But this is your moment during this quarantine, during this Wednesday night service. This is your moment where God said, I want to bring you from the rear to the front. I want to bring you from the bottom to the top. I want to bring you from the left out to the one that is promoted. God's speaking to somebody right now. In the dark days of quarantine, God said, you're going to remember this not as a trial, but you're going to remember it as a triumph. When you talk 10 years from now, you'll always say, back during the coronavirus, that's when God turned my life around. That's when I got saved. That's when I got filled. That's when God called me to the ministry. That's when the anointing came on me the first time. That's when the check came in the mail. That's when the job offer happened. That's when my business idea was started. God is saying to somebody right now that he's moving you from absent to blessed. And number five, Jesus wants to work miracles and signs before his ascension. The Bible said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a rapture. I know that there's a lot of preachers that say it's going to happen Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday or I don't know when. And they don't either. They're just willing to risk their ministry on their feeling. I'm not going to do that. The Bible said no man knoweth a day or hour. But as sure as I stand here, I believe there is a rapture. I believe just as Christ ascended, his church is going to ascend. But I think there is a symbolic type here. And that is, just before Jesus ascended, there was a flurry of miracles and signs and wonders that were committed in his name. And I think that's exactly where the church is today. If we've got a week or 23 years, I believe the next time period between now and the ascension of the church is going to be the greatest parade of miracles the world has ever seen. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not these signs shall follow the televangelist or the bishop or the pastor or the teacher, but everybody that is a believer. Ladies and gentlemen, if anything good comes out of the coronavirus, it is that every woman and man that claims to be a preacher and a believer suddenly became a miracle worker. We literally allow the power of God to flow through us. And Jesus wants to work miracles and signs in the days that we live in. Number six, Jesus' fleshly ministry is now transferred to us. Do you understand that? The fleshly ministry of Jesus Christ is no longer available. People will tell you, Christ appeared to me. I had a lady tell me, said, Christ appeared to me. I said, what did he look like? She said she was a little strange. She gave me $30,000 in nickels one time, but she was strange. She said, Christ, I saw him. I said, what did he look like, ma'am? Said he was sitting in a big rocking chair. I said, uh-huh. How was he dressed? She said, exactly like Santa Claus. Red suit, red stocking cap, white beard. That was her vision of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no fleshly manifestation of the person of Christ in one body. But now, the Bible teaches we are the body of Christ. And Jesus' fleshly ministry is now transferred to us. He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers can say this has ever happened to them? In my name, believers shall cast out devils. How many of you that claim to be a believer have ever cast out devil? No, that doesn't mean you ask your mother-in-law to leave. I mean cast out a real devil. How many of you have done that? How many of you have seen the power of God? They shall speak with new tongues. That means two things. That's the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's also you'll have a new vocabulary. You won't have to use curse words and filth to get your idea across. A new tongue. Instead of being a curser, you'll be a praiser. They shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean snake handling in church. It means me getting bit by a rattlesnake in a horse barn about 5 years ago without any dire effect. Friend, just because I've been bitten once and got by with it, I don't look for snakes. I'm like Wendy Bagwell, an old song writer and singer. He said he went to a snake handling church, and he said he didn't know it was one until they drug that snake out and waved it around the air. He said to his assistant, he said, Geraldine, where's the back door? He said, Wendy, there is no back door. He said, Geraldine, where do you think they want one? He was ready to get out of there. Snake handling. The people that handle snakes are sincerely wrong, misguided. There's no place in the Bible that God intends for us to do things like that. But there is protection against things. If they shall drink any deadly thing, in a revival in Texarkana, an atheist put arsenic in babies' bottles while the people were worshiping God up around the front and then watched for the babies to die, and the babies didn't die, so he got saved. That's what a verse like that means. It doesn't mean that you tempt fate and say, let me see if I can drink this and not die. It means that God comes in adverse circumstances and supernaturally delivers you. Oh, hallelujah. Those are the signs that shall follow the believer. How can that be? Because it is finished. God has appropriated his power that he put in Jesus Christ in 33 and a half years on this earth now in the body of Christ. And Jesus himself would confer that when he said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has labored in some anemic power because they simply have not understood. But in times like this, it's time for the church of the living God to rise up and declare, we are not ascending yet, but before we do, we're going to let God use us in signs and wonders and powers as a sign that Jesus Christ is alive. The Bible said that we'll have new power. Jesus said that we will receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost does come upon you. And the Bible said those disciples looked steadfastly toward the heaven as Jesus went up. Suddenly two angels stood by and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus that went away, he's coming back, and so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. Friend, it's not time just to be looking up and saying it's time for us to go. It's not time for us to go. It's time for us to grow. It's time for the church to become the church, with signs and wonders and miracles and love and the power of Almighty God. The kingdom of God comes not by observation. We can't just look around and hope for the best. We've got to get filled with God's Spirit that we can say, yes, it is truly finished. There are a lot of people that accept Jesus Christ as Savior but completely ignore the biblical injunction, do not neglect so great salvation. Paul would talk to us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We can not neglect this salvation. Salvation in the Hebrew there, in the Greek there, is not simply escape from hell. It's the salvation, the whole package, the finished product. Jesus didn't give us a prototype. I saw a picture one time just a few years ago. I said, that's the car I want to get. Somebody sent it to me. It was on the internet. And they said, this car is available right now. Oh, it was the car I wanted. I rushed down to the dealership with the picture and said, I want to buy this car. They said, sir, that car's not available. It's never been manufactured. That's a prototype. There's one in Detroit somewhere, but they're not ever going to make that car. I was so disappointed. Friend, Jesus Christ gave us a great salvation. It's intact. It's complete. And it is finished. It's not started. It is finished. The finished product is ours. But it's not to be used on rare occasions. It's a daily experience. The finished product is to be used every day. The power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what America needs, what the world needs right now, with scientists scratching their heads and doctors looking perplexed and huddling together trying to find a cure for the pandemic, it would be an hour for the church to stand up and say the power of God that was given to Christ and he purchased on Calvary and praise God declared it is finished. It is intact. His power is intact. It is perfect. It is finished and it is available. The power of God is a reality. God is the author of life, the finisher of faith. God is the creator. God is the magnificent almighty God. We did not evolve. We were created in the image of almighty God. And so God intended for this perfect product, it finished product, to be delivered to us. And there's never been a time in the history of mankind where God's power has not been existent. But God's power has not always been available to mankind. Prophets struggled in the wilderness looking for the power of God. It was hit and miss, sporadic. God would display himself and then be silent for 400 years. God's power was always existent. But friend, it was not always available. Sin separated man from God's power. But Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. And that's what he came for, to make the existent power of God available. That's what his life was all about. That's what he was showing us. Somebody said, why didn't Jesus raise all the dead? Just a few. Why didn't he heal all the sick? Just a few. He was not here to do all the work. He was here to show us the finished product, what we as the people of God would do. So a God that has existent power, a God that now through his son Christ Jesus made it available, did something else. You see, there's a lot of things available I don't have access to. I just find it so frustrating. I've got more passwords than the word allows. And then I have to say, Becky, what's my password on such and such? If she don't know, confusion breaks out in the office. It's available. But it's not accessible because I don't have the password. And so God's power has always been existent. Jesus Christ made it available. But it is only the knowledge of God's plan, God's word, that makes it accessible. Friend, no wonder the Bible said, study the word that you can be a workman that needeth not to be what? Ashamed. You know, there's a lot of finger pointing in Washington, D.C. today about people that should have known and should have made preparations. And they're trying to shame one another. You should have prevented the pandemic. They're ashamed. But friend, the greatest ignorance is not in Washington, but it's all across the world where people are ignorant of a plan that has been laid out in the Word of God. And even though God's power that has been existent since the eons of time, been available for 2,000 years, it's still not existent to those that do not know the power of the gospel. If this gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Study the Word of God. Find out what it's got to say. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God's not working on a plan. It is finished. He will not deny us. And if we will study the Word of God, we will find out one thing. And that is that man, sin in error, was expelled from the Garden of Eden and was now away from God. His son Christ came back, bought our redemption, and returned us back to God. But he did not leave us powerless. He said, I must go away, but I'll send another comforter. That comforter is the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to sit in fear and dread. You don't have to say, I missed it. I tell you that Jesus Christ is coming to you and say, you might have missed it, but I'm here to make his grace and power available to you. Whosoever will believe, call on that name that is above every name. It is sheer ignorance not to know that Jesus Christ is the name above every name. It is the name where every man, woman, boy, and girl shall bow someday. I've just got ahead of the game and bowed hundreds or dozens of years ago. I bowed my knee to Christ and made him my Lord and Savior. And now these 60 years that I've walked with the Lord, I've found out it is a password, praise God. When I don't know what to do, I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when I do, angels come and stand at attention, and demons flee, and the power of Almighty God is with me. It's in the Word of God. It's accessible. Oh, I know that name. I love that name. And I enjoy the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Do you know what it is to feel God's presence until your body shakes and trembles? Do you know what it is when the Spirit of God comes on you and you say, how lovely is God? How wonderful is God? You praise him with every known adjective and adverb that you can find. You talk about his greatness, but after a while, your vocabulary is abandoned and you speak in a heavenly language. And you say, wow, the Holy Ghost is upon me. I'm like Jacob. This is the gate of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, it's more than a handshake and joining church and attending once in a while. There is a plan that God has got. It is finished. It is complete. And I enjoy the God of my salvation. There's never been a barometer of fear like there is in America today. People are afraid. People are afraid for their lives. Afraid to go out. Afraid to shake hands. Afraid to get in a group. Just afraid. Fear is rampant. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, it is finished. The power of God is available to the human family. Right where you are, you need to call on that name, Jesus Christ. It's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ has been my strength against sin. Jesus Christ has been my strength against fear. And Jesus Christ is my force against the pandemic. I speak that name not once a day, but dozens of times a day. The Holy Ghost is the shield of faith around me, sealed in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. And right where you are, you say, Pastor, I hear you, but there's so many voices. I don't know what to do. The Bible said it's so simple a wayfaring man can find, and the Apostle Paul would echo and said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's simple. Just say, Jesus Christ, I believe that you lived. I believe that you died. I believe you rose again. And I believe you hear me and see me now. I want you to come into my heart. Take my sin away. Oh, Lord, take this terrible fear away. And God, while you're at it, can you take the pain and the sickness away? Can you write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? And can you send me the comfort of the Holy Spirit sitting right here in this chair? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. It's just that simple. Call on the Lord while he may be found, the Bible declares.